thankful that He knows our name. Amen. As they was singing it, I was thinking of where Miss Casey and I was at 2 weeks ago today. Had a follow-up visit today, and they showed us some pictures, and it's simply the hand of God. And the fact that there was people of God calling on Him on her behalf. The pictures show a mass bigger than the ovary. There ain't nothing to explain why we're not having a different conversation with the doctors today, except for He knows our name. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Thankful for His mercy and His grace. He's been a whole lot better to me than I've ever been to Him. Better than we deserve. Philippians chapter number 3 tonight. Philippians 3 and verse number 15, and when you find it, if you'll just say amen. The Bible says, "Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything, ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Jesus. God, we thank You for Your Holy Scriptures and, God, the opportunity to be able to read them here tonight. God, we thank You for allowing us to come to Your place, to Your house, and to worship You. Father, we pray now that You would help us. God, bless the reading of Your Word. God, bless Your people. And, Father, don't let us say anything that You wouldn't have us to, but all things that You would have us to here tonight. Father, we love You and we thank You, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. As we come to this text, and as we see here in verse number 15, as this text begins to open up, I want you to notice here, I want you to notice this people. Now, Paul is talking here, and notice the people where it says, "Let us therefore as many as be perfect." And at that word perfect, not meaning to be sinless, but simply to be maturing and being mature in our faith. And to be not talking about being being perfect as sinless, but those that are growing in Christ, the perfecting of the saints, the perfecting of the body of Christ. And as we see this, as those are growing in faith, Paul is saying, I'm trying to show you something. I want you to draw your attention to something here in these verses as he's talking to them. He said, as be perfect, but thus, be thus minded. Notice the practice here. To be thus minded. To be Paul saying, what I'm about to say to you is not just to new converts, but it's to those that may have been saved for a while. Those that's been on the journey for a while. Paul's saying it's for mature Christians. It's for young Christians. He's saying that for us to be like-minded, to be involved in the same thing. For us, we are to be thus minded in one mind and in one accord. He's saying we're to think together. Now, we know this, that we can look around the room and we can tell that not everybody thinks identically the same. Amen. But we're to be about one business. We're to be about one mindset as a body of believers. That we're to be together in mind. And if we're together in mind, then eventually our hearts will be together and it will move to our hands and we will begin working together as the body of Christ. Then, notice this, and go on down, and it says, and in anything ye be otherwise minded. We see the protesters here. Now, let me say, it don't matter nowadays, Brother Mike, what you preach or how you preach. Somebody ain't going to like it. Can I get a witness right there? I mean, it don't matter. Nowadays, they'll find something wrong with it. But one thing for sure matters is no matter what is voted on, somebody not gonna like it. I mean, I'm sure somebody don't like the fact that there's red carpet and red pews in the church, amen? But it don't matter about that. That's not what the focus is on, amen? There's gonna be protesters, there's gonna be people, going against you that will not think as they should or think as we should as a body of believers. And Paul's saying, watch out for the protesters. Be careful. They're going to go against everything, no matter if it's God saying it or the preacher saying it. They're going to go against it. He said, be careful of the protesters. But then notice this. Look in verse number 16. Notice the path here. Notice the path. It says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. We're to walk by the same rule. You say, well, whose rule is it? It's not my rule. It's not the pastor's rule. It's not the deacon's rule. But God has given us a rule to live by. God's given us a rule to go by. And it's, hey, don't get mad at management. I mean, you'll have to get in touch with somebody else. We're just a salesperson. Get in touch with the man in charge. And so many times, we see that we are to walk in the same, we're to have the same standards about us as Christians. We're to be about the Father's business when it comes to the principles and the doctrines and the teachings of the Word of God. It really don't matter what level you, and so many times we Christians put ourselves on different levels. We think, well, I've been saved longer than this one, so I'm a little bit above them. It's amazing to me that I've seen in my lifetime that there are folks that's been saved for 30, 40, 50 years that they ain't never got off the milk. They still own the milk. And there's folks that get saved today, and man, they're hungry and they never lose that hunger, and they begin to grow and they begin to be nurtured and they begin to be discipled and they grow and they move forward for Christ. So we see these different levels, and people try to put themselves in different levels of Christianity. But we're all to be together, and we're all to live by one rule, and we're all to work by one rule. There isn't a set of rules for me. There's not a set of rules for Brother Ken. There's not a set of rules for Brother Mike. There's not a set of rules for a young Christian. It's all the same rules, and we're to live by them. But here's what we do as Christians. We do everything that we can to try to form those rules and change those rules and bend those rules to where they fit us and they fit who we are. They fit what we want to be about. But there's just one rule, may I say. There's one rule and it's all the same. Here we see that that God isn't making exceptions for anybody. We live in a society today that I'll just say if I get in trouble, that'd be all right. But we live in a society today to where nobody wants to be told no. Anybody like hearing no? I don't like no, but sometimes we have to hear that. And we live in a time to where no is not something that we want to hear, but we have to hear it sometimes because God will say no. And here's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you on this thought. We have not arrived. We have not arrived. I mean, there's some folks that think just because they're in a different level than somebody else that they've arrived, that they're on the scene. And so Paul is saying here, it doesn't matter if you've been saved 15 minutes or 50 years. You haven't arrived. Paul's saying to him here, as long as we live this life, as long as we live in this body, God's given us this book, this rule book, to live by. And it is here for us to do just that. Paul said, walk by the same rule. So many times we try to make, here's one, and he ain't in here, so I'll tell you. Casey's got a bunch of little nephews. Ain't none of them mine. They all hers. Amen. And so that's her side of the family. We're going to talk about it tonight. And so she's got a bunch of little nephews, and her cousins has got a bunch of little boys. We got, how many, 10 boys, 9 boys, and Sunday afternoons is a circus around our place. Amen. Sunday dinner is a mess. And so they'll get out there in the yard and they'll get them up a game of football or fight or whatever kind of game you want to come up with. And they don't want to play by the rules. And Carson's the oldest and he wants to make up his rules to where it benefits his team. It's one set of rules when the other team's got the ball and it's another set of rules when his team's got the ball. And that's how we are today. But that ain't what the Bible said. It said live by the same rule. Here it is. Here it is. That's the rule that he intends for us to live by. Rebels, they have one rule that they live by. You know what it is? Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. That's the way rebels, that's how they live. And that's how most people live nowadays. The world has rules. The devil has rules. But listen, God has rules for us to live by. Everybody has a rule. The longer you're a Christian, the more it becomes a reality that you have not arrived. The more we serve God, the more that we live for Him. Listen to this quote right here. Humility is not born overnight, but developed in the heart over time. Let me say that again. Humility is not born overnight. You don't just wake up in the morning and it's there. But it's something that develops in the side of a man, woman, boy, or girl over a period of time inside the heart. And the songwriter, I believe, nailed it right. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more we humble ourselves, the sweeter Jesus is to me. And it's because we realize that it's not our own efficiency, but it's His. We realize that we can't do it without Him. Paul gives us some rules that we can follow in these verses tonight. Number one, I want you to notice this. Let us follow the example. Notice in verse number 17, if you will. He says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them. Notice, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. It says, watch out around you. Watch out what's going on around you. But Paul said there's some examples out there. And first, notice this, that I see faithful Paul here. I see Paul isn't, he's not being arrogant. He's not
putting Paul up on a pedestal. He's not patting himself on the back, but he's saying, hey, look at my past. You see where I've been. Look where I'm at now. I know a little bit of something about how to get to this point in the Christian life. Paul has been faithful. He has been an example. Paul isn't elevating himself, but when he mentions himself, he's using himself as an example. I see faithful Paul, but I also see this. I see faithful people. Notice what it says. It says, mark them. Mark them. I'm thankful for some faithful people in my life. I'm thankful. I was sitting there thinking today, and you and I both have a lot of examples. And when I say think about some faithful people in your life, they automatically people that comes to mind. I was sitting here thinking we was able to spend some time with my granddaddy, the only one I've got living. And he's 95, and he's a mess. I mean, I'm telling you, you never know what's coming. And when I get 95, I ain't going to care either, amen? But anyway, I'm just trying to make it to 40. Somebody holler amen right there. But anyway, and we went up there the other day, and I try to go see him. I don't get to go as much as I'd like. But my granddaddy's been faithful. He was a sheriff there in Polk County for 24 years. And he said law enforcement, they say you can't serve God and be in law enforcement. He said, I did, 24 years. He's always challenged me to study God's Word and to read the Bible. And this is what he told me up when I was up there the other day. We had to slip off and we have to slip around because Grandmama's nosy and she's probably watching Facebook. Lord have mercy. I'm sorry, Papa. Anyway, ain't that something? 93 and got her iPad, Brother Mike, and whew, she keeps up with us now. Anyway, but this is what he said to me. He said, son, you have to drive me. He said, I've got where I can't see. Tears swelled up in his eyes, and this was his statement. He said, I just wish that I could still read my Bible. I thought, man, I get busy sometimes and I may go a day and miss it. And I don't think nothing about it, but here he is saying, I just wish that I could pick up my Bible. He told me not too long ago, he said, hey son, can you find me a little small, thin, line Bible? I said, well, Papa, you need a big print. He said, oh son, I can't see it much anymore. He said, I just want to have one that I got in my hand when I go to church. He said, I got to have my sword with me. It means something to have a Bible, and he just wants to read. He's been faithful. He's one of them that's been faithful in my life. My other grandfather, he's gone. He's been gone about 20 years now, and he preached God's Word for over 50 years. And he didn't have but a fourth grade education, and he didn't really have a lot of vocabulary, but he knowed God's what he said. And I'm thankful for the example that he had in my life to show me that even though my grandmother, because of the health of my uncle, he was mentally retarded and he couldn't go to church because when everybody got up to shake hands, he went to the car ready to go home. Amen. And Grandmama stayed back and she kept the house and she made sure everybody was taken care of and he stayed preaching and he stayed pastoring and he stayed faithful. And they showed me what it is to be faithful. We look around us today and hear, I mean, I think about uncles that pastored and preached, and I think about my daddy that preached and pastored my whole life, and I think about our pastor and how what the example he is for us, and how he stayed faithful and he stayed true to the Word of God. And there's some faithful people in our lives that we must remember. Let us follow those examples. We think about these ladies, we tend to get up behind the pulpit and we tell all about the men that's been faithful in her life, but we leave out some women. I remember one lady, she didn't have much and she sat in the middle. And I hadn't been preaching very long, and I grew up around shouting Baptists, and it don't bother me when somebody shouts, and she was sitting right back there, and I was supposed to preach one Sunday night, and I got up to the pulpit, and getting ready to give my text, and she stood up and said, "Woo!" And I like to jump from over the pulpit. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. But the Lord had done filled her up, and she was faithful to the house of God. She was a faithful prayer warrior, and she showed us what a wife was supposed to be. We think about faithful women. I think about my mother, how she didn't kill me, nor my daddy, nor my little brother. Amen. She was faithful, but she's a prayer warrior. She's a silent warrior. She don't say much. She don't want to be out in the limelight. She don't get her nails done, and that's fine. I don't mind you getting your nails. My wife gets her nails done, but Mama don't. She don't want all that. She don't want nothing to bring attention to her. But I can tell you this: if I call her and I say, "Hey, Mama, I need you to pray," she'll say, "All right," and she'll start praying. She's been faithful through the years. You can think of people that's been faithful in your life. I'm thankful for those men of God that laid the foundation, that paved the road. Brother Jamie, I'm going to help you out tonight. I'm going to consider you a young man like myself. And they, you like that, don't you? Anyway, but they some old men of God that's paved the way for us young preachers. And we got a tough job to hold it up like they have. They've held the mantle up and young ladies, they some women that's crossed your path that's been faithful to God. And it's your job to do that as a young lady, being faithful. Some faithful men. Age don't matter when it comes to examples. They seem young people here in this church that I've been watching. I've been seeing. I watch people. Brother David got on to me. He said, "Normally by about Wednesday, I see you backsliding. You're sitting back here in the back." I said, "I like being able to see everybody." I don't trust none of you behind me. Amen. If I can't see you, I ain't trusting you. I like to be able to see, but I've watched and I've seen young families and young couples. They've been faithful. They serve God, and I can tell stories of young couples that have been faithful. They have been faithful. They have been consistent. They have walked with God, and they ain't changed. They ain't compromised. And that goes for the young and the old. We can't compromise. We got to stick with what got us here. Let me say this: don't be a legend in your own mind. Anybody ever talk to somebody that didn't need nobody to write a book about them, didn't nobody tell a story about them, because if you talk to them long enough, they'd tell you everything you needed to know about them? Ain't no need in God keeping a record for them, because they was doing it pretty good themselves. Amen. Don't let that be us. Faithful men don't talk about themselves. They elevate Him. They talk about Him. That's what faithful men do. We all know somebody like that. I just want to finish faithful. I don't know many folks that's left nowadays we're labeled as an ultra-conservative Baptist church. I don't know many folks that's left Liberty and went to a more conservative Baptist church. But I will say there's probably been a few left and found them one a little more liberal. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Be faithful to God. Stay with it. Number two, notice this. Verse number 18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Number two, notice, fear the enemies. Follow examples, but fear the enemies. They're out there. I had to have a conversation with a fellow the other day. I said, "Listen, not everybody is your friend. There's some good folk out there. There's some good people there. But not everybody is our friend." Guess who has a hard time with that? Me. I give too many people the benefit of the doubt. I try to tell Casey all the time, but the Lord has changed me, because used to nobody got the benefit. But He's changed me. But not everybody is our friend. Be fear the enemy. The enemy can't produce anything, so they have to go after what's already somebody else's. The enemy can't produce his own, so he comes after what God has created. Last time I checked, Satan himself, he never created anything. So he comes after God's created beings. The ones that was created, the Bible says that He created He man in our own image. In the image of God created He man. He created them like Him. Those that compromise always want to take somebody with them. So when Satan gets somebody going in that direction, they want to get them up a crowd. Why? Here's an example. was talking to a fellow the other day, and he was trying to tell me why he was doing something. And my reply to him was, look, Hoss, you ain't got to convince me of it. Just convince yourself of it and you'll be okay. And that's what happens when people begin to compromise, when they begin to let down on their standards, when they buy into what the devil and the enemy is trying to do. They try to tell the story so that they can feel good about it themselves. Be careful. They got their discipleship. Notice that. That it is popular. Notice what it says here in verse number 18. It says, for many walk. For many walk. It's popular. It's not popular to serve God nowadays. It's not popular to tell others about Christ in the day and hour in which we live. And just because it's popular don't mean that God approves of it. Heard one fella say that rock stars and wrestlers could draw crowds, but it took God to build a church. And so many times, people think because it's big and because it's popular that God's in it. I've been in a whole lot more small churches that had God in it than I have big churches. It's not about the show. It's not about... I was told the other day about a church that had contacted me about... They said, oh, they got the latest and the greatest media out there. I said, oh, Lord. Oh, they've got all the lights. They've got all this. And I'm thinking, my goodness, what am I going to a movie theater? Am I going to church? God's not always with the big crowd. I believe I've read where he had 12 disciples. That's a small crowd. I believe that the Bible says if there's just two or three gathered in his name, he said, there will I be in the midst. Just because it's popular and the crowd wants it, don't always mean it's the right thing. When we fear in the enemy, we see their dislike. Notice verse number 18. Says, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross. It's not because they dislike you. It's because they dislike who you serve. They dislike who you stand for. They dislike who you are as a Christian. The enemy does. Being popular as a Christian and Christianity doesn't go hand in hand nowadays. Because if we take a stand for what this Bible teaches us, the world will not like us. This world is just tolerating us. I know that we're supposed to be the light of the world. I understand that. That's who we are. But the Bible also says that we're to be the salt of the earth. And the last time I checked, when you cut your finger, you don't go dump a bucket of salt in it. When you put salt in a wound, it aggravates the wound. And I can assure you that if Washington had their choice, they'd shut us down today. They're just tolerating us. Notice in verse number 19. It says, whose end is destruction. Notice their destruction. Look at where they're going. Look at where this group's going. They're not going up. The enemy's going down. The enemy has been defeated. Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When we look around us and we see what's going on, we see the enemy to the church, we see the enemy to the cross, we see the enemy to the cause of Christ. We see that they're self-destructing and they'll be their own demise. I'd like to say in this, fearing the enemy, I'd like to say I don't have any regrets tonight for serving God. I don't have any regrets tonight for serving the Lord. I have no regrets for trying to raise my family in the house of God. I have no regrets in taking a stand for what I've taken a stand for. I have no regrets tonight for sheltering my kids. It's bad when you got a sixth grader and he comes home and he'll say, Daddy, what's this mean? And I think, my goodness, I wish I didn't have to explain this right now. I've sheltered him. I got an 8-year-old. Y'all going to have to help me pray. It's going to be all that me and Mama and the good Lord can do to get him through. Amen. But I got a 12-year-old that I've sheltered. I've sheltered all of them. But I've got a 12-year-old that just don't get it sometimes. I don't have any regrets in that. I don't have any regrets in telling others about Christ. I just don't have no regrets when it comes to the enemy. It's been worth it. It's been worth every mile. It's been worth every sermon that I've preached. It's been worth every prayer that I've prayed. It's been worth every hill I've had to climb. It's been worth every trial that we've had to go through and face. It's been worth it all to serve Jesus. And if it means me fighting the enemy off, and if it means me standing ground for my kids, I'm willing to keep doing it. I'm willing to keep standing. Then notice this here in verse number 19. The degradation. Their degradation. It says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Their appetite is the world. They want to silence us. They want us to be quiet. They want to shame us for preaching against sin. They want to shame us for taking a stand for thus saith the Word of God. They want to shame us for preaching against sodomy, but they want to blast it all over TV. They want to shame us for taking a stand against abortion, but they want to plaster it all over the TV and tell our young'uns that it's okay. They want to shame us for preaching and taking a stand against fornication. But it's everywhere you look. It's on the billboards. It's on the television. It's on their phones. It's everywhere. But they want to shame us for taking a stand. Their appetites, the world. They want to shame us for preaching against adultery. But let me say that I stood in the altar and made a vow that until death alone shall part you. Made a vow to my wife that it'd be me and her. They want to shame us for preaching against drinking. But it's just social. But the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. They want to shame us for preaching against anything that takes away from church and God. It's okay if we promote a fun day, but they think we should be shameful for promoting the Lord's day. I don't care what it is, if it takes away from the things of God, it's wrong. It's always been wrong and it always will be wrong. They want to shame us for challenging people to read the Bible and to study the Bible. We don't put too much pressure on them. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we don't do some studying on our own, how do we know when a crony gets in the pulpit and preaches something that he ought not? They want to shame us for this. They want to shame us for preaching that we should do our best to live a holy and acceptable life. He said, be holy for I am holy. Not Philip, but him. But they want to shame us for it. Lastly, I want you to notice this in verse number 20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on the encouragement. We see follow, and we see fear, but now we want to focus on the encouragement. In the verse 20 and verse number 21, I see the believer's home going. We leaving out. We see everything bad going on around us. They can crash in on us. But one thing's for sure, we're going home one of these days. I don't believe it'll be very long. Paul said, look at the examples. Fear the enemy. But let me encourage you just a little bit before we get out of this chapter. He said, you are going on. It says here that for our conversation is in heaven. We're talking about things that we ain't seen yet. We're talking about somebody that we hadn't seen yet, but I sure have felt him. Somebody holler amen. Hey, we're talking about something that's in another world. It's the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's leaving them that Jesus is coming again. A glorious body. We ain't arrived yet. But it ain't going to be long till He's coming. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ, they're going to go up first. And then all us that sit in the... Now, it's going to happen so fast, I don't know if we'll be able to think. But can you imagine being standing down here and seeing the graves start popping open? And it's going to happen a day before long. They're going to be going up. Those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will arrive one day, but not down here. No matter who we think we are, on this side of the grave, on this side of eternity, we ain't arrived yet. But when He comes, we will arrive. Our conversation ain't here, but it's there. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen. We ain't arrived yet. Let me ask you this. When it's our time to arrive, are you ready? Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, we love You. And we thank You tonight for Jesus. Lord, we pray that You would take what we've, our feeble efforts, and God, may it help us. God, in the days ahead, may it challenge us. God, may we find us somebody to follow in their footsteps, God, that'll lead us to You and lead us in the direction of You. God, may we fear our enemy, but Lord, may we look for Your return. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.